Morning. Good to be able to speak to everyone that's listening online, and that's a wonderful experience, I'm sure, for everyone. I want to just praise Jesus this morning, and what a wonderful time to be alive, that God's moving in a supernatural way, given His Son, and that with the resurrection, we know death is defeated, and we have eternal life. Just what a powerful, powerful message we have. So I just do want to wish you a happy Easter, and I'd like Linda to come up so she could wish you a happy Easter also, because this is where all the wisdom lies, and so I want her to wish you a happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love. We thank You You're moving powerfully in this world. You're showing Yourself strong, and we thank You that You paid the penalty for our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that we have a home in heaven. We're thankful to You, God, and You're working in this world today. And so we put all our heart and affections upon You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, the title of the message this morning, appropriately, it would be Resurrection Power, Resurrection Power. And let me just read this verse to start off with. This is in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The resurrection is the absolute cornerstone to Christianity. And I hate to be this blunt, is that if someone doesn't believe in the resurrection of Christ, they're not a Christian. I mean, they may be something else and believe, have a different belief system, that's fine, but they cannot call themselves a Christian if one doesn't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For a Christian, our belief in the forgiveness of sins, the belief in the afterlife, belief, you know, in eternal life, past and future, is all totally tied to the resurrection of Christ. It's critical in world history. It's the center point of world history, and it expresses the love of God and the power of God to all people. So that's the foundation of our faith. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. There's nothing to preach about if Christ hasn't been resurrected. There's not any faith that we can depend on if Christ hasn't been resurrected. And so this is central to our belief system. In fact, Paul goes on to say, which is kind of interesting, he said, if Jesus is not raised, then believers are not raised. And he goes on to say, we might as well go on and eat, drink, for tomorrow we may die. Now you look at the world, that's kind of how the world lives, without Christ, without any hope. Just eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. And the Apostle Paul's saying the same thing. If we do not believe in the resurrection of Christ, then we don't believe in our resurrection. He says, we might as well do what the world does. And so we see the resurrection is absolutely critical. Now, Paul does go on and say that we have been, Jesus was raised, and we have been raised with Jesus. We have eternal home in heaven. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, God raised the Lord Jesus and will also raise us up by His power. So all embracing the resurrection. And what a peaceful place to be, to know that we will one day be with the Lord, not separated from Him. We'll be with the Lord. And we have loved ones who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they truly don't die. They just truly pass into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have that hope of seeing them and being with them for all eternity. So it's just a powerful statement and subject that the Lord has given us. In fact, Jesus Himself said this. He goes, in my house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. You know, so many of us are making our home here, you know, and we're called here to carry out God's work, and we have plans in the future. This is our retirement or whatever. And God goes, no, I have a place for you. I have prepared a place for you. And so our vision should turn from the world to the things of the Lord and the resurrection power, because it's the resurrection in our relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ that is makes a difference in this world and gives us hope and releases His power. Christianity does not exist without the resurrection. Does not exist. And with the cornerstone of the resurrection, we know that all people, the dead that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, will rise and be with Him for all eternity. Now, we understand that. We see that, and you know, there's churches throughout the world that are preaching the same message. And I would even go this far that the believing churches around the world would preach the same message, because that is the unifying message, and that's the foundation. And like I said, without that, you can't have Christianity. And so I want us to just pause here as we understand that fact. It's being preached around the world in the Christian church, is the unbelievable power that's involved here. I mean, you have the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He dies a death because He gave up the Spirit. He dies. They buried Him. He was in a tomb. He's dead. Jesus, God, through the power of the Spirit, He arose. He became alive. He literally died dead. Spirit separated from the body, died. But then God had Him, raised Him up through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God's power, through resurrection power. He came from the dead. That is the greatest power in the world. God, who created the universe, has tremendous power. God, who parted the Red Sea for Moses, tremendous power. But the greatest power is to be able to raise those from the dead. That's the greatest power. And that's nothing that anyone can duplicate. That's greater than anything else. And God calls it out for what it is. He gives us His life for eternity. And it's like He makes us indestructible. He makes us indestructible, and we are with Him for all eternity. So I want us to just think a minute and comprehend that power that's able to, that's greater than creation, that power that's greater than parting of the Red Sea, is bringing people to life. And by the way, in case you haven't noticed, everyone will die physically. We haven't found anybody who escaped that yet. I mean, people have tried, but it doesn't work. All you have to do is wait. But the one person who was resurrected was the Lord Jesus Christ. And He was, if you will, a first fruit of all those that will come in and be like Him and will be raised up also. So it should give us great hope as we trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to just a minute, just think about that. Comprehend that power. Now, if we're believers, we believe we're going to heaven and be with the Lord, all right? But now think about the power that is necessary for that to take place. It hasn't been duplicated, okay? This is what God has called us to be with Him for eternity. Think about it. The power for the dead to rise for all eternity. Never to die. And as you process and think of that power, just think of that power. That is something that we all experience. And as you think of that power, think about us standing in the presence of the Holy God and the Lord Jesus Christ, being resurrected and being more alive than any time on earth. That power. You process that power. Okay? And as Christians, we all hold on to that. And that is our hope. Okay? Amen. Now, I want to add something, and I want to speak specifically to the church. Now, I mean people outside the church, I mean out that haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I mean, you can listen in, and you can take notes, and maybe it will stir something in your heart, okay? But now I want to speak specifically to the church, because the church, the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are the only ones who can embrace what I'm about to say. Other people on the outside can listen and take notes, but they can't embrace it and they can't live it without the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So as Christians, believing in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ and our resurrection being with the Lord, should also know that this very resurrection power is present now and empowers us at this very moment when we believe in Jesus. The resurrection power is now, not just for when we die. It is now. And I want to show you what the scripture says about this and how much emphasis God puts on the church. When I say the church, I mean believers, those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And to understand how God works through His church and His purpose for His church. And that Jesus is telling believers about who they are living in this resurrection power now. Jesus is saying to us, we need to be flying like eagles, but we're scratching around in the dirt like turkeys. And He says, no, that's not your life. You should soar like an eagle. The resurrection power is immediately available in our mortal body to accomplish all the works of Christ. I hate to just repeat myself. However, the resurrection power is immediately available in our mortal body to accomplish all the works of Christ. Now, do you see how God looks at His church? Do you see how God looks at His believers? Do you see how God looks at us? Now, this is how He's looking at us. He has this view of us. He is just trying to communicate this view to us so that we will understand it and live it out, that He will work through us as He sees fit. But He's going to tell us, no, you've got the resources. You've got the reason. I've made the way. But what I need you, believers, the church, to focus and tap in to the resurrection power. Now, I'm going to read one verse here that is really powerful that talks about this. And I want you to listen closely, because as we try to put our arms around this, we think, well, gosh, that's interesting. I don't know if I can quite get it. And, well, the only way to do it is see what God says. We believe that we trust Jesus, we'll have a home in heaven, okay? Well, here's something else He says, that how we can live out now. So we, in the same faith that we're going to heaven, in the same faith we're going to believe that He's going to work through us now. And He tells us how to do it. But it actually takes some understanding on our part to connect with God, to be able to allow Him to work through us as an avenue. So listen to this, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And grasp what's being said here. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The Apostle Paul said, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now just pause there. He's making a statement to the church. The ones who have received Christ, received the Holy Spirit. Oh, wait, how do we receive Christ? I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that my sins are forgiven. And our sins are forgiven. But it says that Jesus comes to live within us. He comes to live us into the Spirit. So there's a transformation. It's not just a different way of thinking. It's a transformation. We believe on Jesus and the Spirit comes to live within us. That makes a believer. That makes a Christian. That makes the church. So if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it's okay. Yes, I'm a Christian, so the Spirit does dwell in me. That's a fact. That's a fact. I don't have to do anything for it. That's a fact. Okay, now let's put it all together. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Put your arms around this. And this is the verse. You go back and look at it. You read it. You meditate on it. So the Spirit, if we have the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, that Spirit in us will raise that spirit in us that raised Jesus from the dead will also give life. So God dwells in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Jesus dwells in us, whatever you want to say. Jesus dwells in us, and it gives us life. The term born again, you know, people misuse it. It's because the Holy Spirit enters in us, and we're born again of the Spirit. That's what it means. We are born again. We have a new life because God indwells us. Born again. And if we have God's life in us, he gives us life, spiritual life. But look at what it says. Spiritual life in heaven with Jesus forever. Amen. But that's not what it says here. He gives life to our mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in us. Our mortal body. Now, if you just go along with me, I want you to reach up. I want to grab your cheek. You just grab your cheek. Just shake it. Just grab your cheek. That's your mortal body. Okay, you got your cheek. That's your mortal body. And he gives it life through the Holy Spirit. Now, all of a sudden, this body has changed because of God in us, and there's life. There is life from God in us. And so what we have here, God gives life to our mortal bodies by the Holy Spirit when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Christ in us, our resurrection power within us. How do we start off this? Talking about resurrection power. Wow. Wow. But he goes, yeah, the resurrection power is in you when you believe. You don't have to wait till you die. It's in you now. And you know what this means with Christ in us or the resurrection power in us? Now, I'm going to say this, and there's some, you know, parameters around it. But this is a truth. This is the truth. If we believe that Christ is in us and he's given us life, resurrection power, this means that we can function on this earth as Jesus functioned. Wow, look at what Jesus did. Whoa, look at what Jesus did. And that is, it's unbelievable. But God says, yeah, but I see you. I know what you can do. And you're going to do it because you're going to get Christ in you through the Holy Spirit, Christ in you. That means that we can function in the power of Christ and do the things that Jesus did. Why? Because Christ is in us. And he can do the same thing in us he did independently. So he is in us. So I want you to process. That's resurrection power in us. And God says, that's my church. That's my believers. Now, did the church all of a sudden get powerful? I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, yeah, it got powerful. How did it get powerful? Because Jesus showed up. That's how it got powerful. Oh man, this guy is charismatic. Oh man, this guy, all the gifts in the world. Oh, this man has this, or this woman has this. That makes the church great. No. It make maybe a good organization, but it doesn't make it great. What makes it great is Christ shows up in his people. He just shows up, and it's resurrection power on this earth. Now, as you process this, I want to think about, and I mean this, and you look in scriptures, he is saying we can function on this earth as Jesus functioned. Do you know what Jesus told the disciples before he was crucified? He goes, I want to tell you something. It's good I leave you. Because when I leave you, I will send you the Holy Spirit. And you will do greater things than me. That's what it is. It's all connected. We just can't get our arms around it. But God says, I'm telling you, this is what's happened. This is what's happened. The church is Jesus on earth. The believers are Jesus on earth. Me and you are Jesus on earth when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a powerful statement here. Now, there is a however we need to approach on this. There is a however. And the however is this. We have to learn to depend on God by transforming our minds and growing in the Spirit. You know, Jesus had, when he was on this earth, had a small advantage over us. Maybe a big advantage over us. He is the Son of God. He came to live as a man, but he lived as a man, as a perfect man. He he didn't have any faults. He didn't have any sin. He had a perfect relationship with God. So he lived perfectly because he is perfect. Now, you and I have an issue. I'll speak for myself by saying I'm speaking for you too. That we have some sins, and we have some faults, and we have some hang-ups, and we have some shortcomings that we're always dealing with. Always dealing with that Jesus didn't have. So God, what he does, he teaches us to deal with those so that we can better hear from him and do what he says and ultimately behave like Jesus did. Amen? So he says we need to work that. So what you have to do once we came to know Christ, we have to learn to depend on God. And we have to transform our minds from our worldly mind setting, and we have to grow in the things of the Spirit. And that's what he's telling us. So what happens here is after salvation, there is a growth process. That just makes sense. After we accept Christ, there's a growth process. After we are born again, after we get spiritual life, there's a growth process. It's like the human process. Have a baby, a new baby comes in the world, and that baby comes in, it's alive. See, it was alive. It wasn't there before. Now it's alive, but it's a baby. And you have this baby, and it's 3 months old, and said, you want it to drive your car. Well, it can. Now you think that's facetious, but that's what it is. When we're born in the Spirit of God, we're like that baby in diapers. All right? And he says, you need to learn, you need to develop, you need to renew your mind. You know, and just as we raise that baby up, and it is life, it hadn't changed, but as it grows up and it gets old enough, and one day you say, you can drive the car. That was a growth process. The life process didn't change. It was just a growth process. Christianity is the same thing. God said, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you how to drive my car. I'm going to teach you that. And so here's a verse, and we'll look at this verse that really highlights this and that we can get our arms around it. Now, understand what I'm doing here. I'm communicating what the Lord says in his word so that we can live in resurrection power. That's the goal. That's the goal. If somebody says, hey, you know, that was a cool message. What a failure. What a failure. You know, oh, that was entertaining. What a failure. No, I heard something that I could grasp the magnitude of God and to live in the power of God. I got a nugget. All right, that's success. Someone grasped hold of the word and what Christ is telling us to be. Amen? All right, so here we are. So I want to look at this verse that really, really pulls this together. Really pulls this together, and I think it'll help us to grasp it and showing how necessary it is to grow. And I want you to turn, and please, I'd like everybody to turn here. And it's in Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And while you're turning there, because I want you to look at this, very interesting. And again, it gives us an understanding of how God wants us to continue to grow. And as we grow, we come to a better understanding of him. And as we come with a better understanding of him, he can use us in a more powerful way. And he really communicates here. And how he's going to communicate the power here is he's going to look at resurrection power. Now again, stop. What I'm talking about, resurrection power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that raises us from the dead, the power that keeps us for all eternity in relationship with God in heaven. That's the power. And he said, okay, God says, I want you to experience it here, now, before you die. All right? So just look at it. See, God has big plans for his church. He has big plans for his believers. There's a big plan. And all he's trying to do is coach us as how to get there. You remind me of a football coach. You got this kid's got all the ability in the world, and he's coming up, and you're pushing him to the nth degree. He's saying, get it, do it. You can do it. You have the ability. Do it. Do it. Come on. Do what I say. Do it. You have the ability. That's what God's doing to us. See? But I'm tired. I'm hot. No, you do it. Listen to me, because I'm going to make you be more than you ever thought you could be, and I'm going to use you in a powerful way. See? So he has the plan for us. He's just getting us on board. That's the issue, getting us on board with him. All right, so here we are. And we have this picture, and we get a little bit of the understanding here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 11. Now, I'm going to read it first in the English Standard Version. That's what I'm using. And then afterwards, I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible Version. okay, that kind of expands the meaning, and we can get our arms around what God is trying to tell us. So in the English Standard Version, it says this, Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11, showing that growth is necessary, and Paul's talking, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Is Paul dead? I'm in heaven. I want to know the power of the resurrection. That's not what he's saying. I want to know it now. I want to know it now. Okay. Growth is necessary. Paul says, that I may know him, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, that can be, you know, a little hard to process through, but the Amplified Version nails this. It really does. So listen what the Amplified Bible says. And it just adds a few modifiers here to give us some insight. So the Amplified Version says this, the growth is necessary, Paul is saying, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that by any means possible, I may attain to the power of the resurrection from the dead, even while in the body. Oh, everybody here goes, amen. Whoever says, say amen. Did you hear what he just said? Did you hear what he just said? Oh, I just don't know what's going on. I can't do anything. I'm scared to death. Oh, Lord, you know what's happening. No. You ever see Jesus do that? You ever read about him do that? No, because he knew who the Father was, and he operated in resurrection power, and he had the ability to perceive and understand what God was doing, and he obeyed God and everything God said to him. Now, he was perfect, okay? But that's what he's teaching us to do, to hear God. See, and so I want to read the Amplified one more. Listen to the Amplified. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's the power. What raised him, I want to know that power now. Know him the power. That by any means possible, I'm going to do anything I have to do. That by any means possible, I may attain the power of the resurrection from the dead, even while in the body. Lord, Lord. Resurrection power is meant to be experienced in this world before we die. Resurrection power is to be experienced in this world before we die. You know, I think the church sometimes, and I shouldn't say this, but the church sometimes believe we're just waiting around to go to heaven. You know, God, no. No, you should be experiencing resurrection power now. Now, can you imagine the church, global church, all of a sudden, I mean, they're humming with the power of God. Why? Because Jesus showed up, and the people are becoming avenues for Jesus. They're working in resurrection power. Now, helpful, we'll continue to go here. I mean, it brings up a few questions. There's some responsibility on our part. God's done everything he needs to do. He's done it. Okay, he's done it. He's just trying to get us on board with him. And so what we have to learn here is this truth, but we also have to learn how to grow and appropriate this power. All right, we have to learn. We grow. And how do you appropriate the power? We have to learn how to be an avenue for the resurrection power of God. We have to learn how to be an avenue. We don't know. He teaches us. And that's what Paul was saying. I want to know. I want to know this. And he's telling us, I will teach you, but you have a responsibility to learn something. Now, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive Jesus. We got the whole thing, all right? But we just don't understand what's going on. And God said, I'll teach you. I'm going to teach you. Now, how does he do this? How do we learn to be an avenue for the resurrection power of God? And God is so good, he tells us. I want you to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And here is the picture of how we move, we accept Christ, and how we move in that direction to be an avenue for the resurrection power of God. Let me read this. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says this. Okay, now he's speaking to us what to do. You know, believers, people, we want that to-do list. He actually gives us one. One, do not be conformed to this world. Okay, you're looking around and we're just being sucked into everything that the world's doing. He said, hey, you can't be an avenue for me if that's what you're doing. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. See, it didn't say get smarter. Okay. Be transformed. Every bit of you is being transformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. There's the issue for a believer, is the mind. Renew the mind. You need to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's getting in gear with what God's doing. That's understanding with the mind of what God's doing. So what you have here is being transformed by the renewal of your mind, and that by testing what? That by what you just learned. By testing what you just learned. You know, I'm going to be a great tennis player, and I'm reading all the books on tennis. I renewed my mind. I know all about tennis. God goes, good. Now get a racket and go on the court and see if you can do any of it. Man, this doesn't work just like the book said. You know, I think I'm missing a point here, but the point we're missing came because when we started to test it. See, a lot of believers, they don't test anything. Oh, yeah, that's what God said. Hallelujah. And they don't do anything. You got to get out and test it, and there's a teaching in the testing. Renewal of the mind, now you test it. So, transformed by the renewal of the mind, that by testing, you may discern the will of God. Now you can discern. I renewed the mind. I'm testing it. Now I can see. I can see the will of God. How did I get there? Renewed my mind. I tested it. And now I can see God work. God work, and it goes on to say, the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. He takes me to that level. So it's powerful. Now listen, as we look at this, this is not a problem with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's just fine. He's got his act together, okay? It's us, all right. God says, you got the Holy Spirit, you got Christ in you, their act is together. I'm trying to get your act together so you can get in step with what they're telling you. This is an issue of the mind. Therefore, we need to renew our mind, and then we test what we learn, and then we're able to discern the will of God. Now we have a reservoir of information in our mind to help us discern what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Holy Spirit, Jesus got talking to us all the time. We just don't get it. We don't understand it. How many of you, this happened to me often, I'll read the Bible, I'm reading something, I don't understand. I don't know what's saying. God, or I feel prompted by the Holy Spirit. I don't make any sense. And then as I get older and I keep growing in word and I read this, I say, oh my gosh, that's what he said. Well, that's what he meant. Did the word change? No, I did. No, I finally, oh, that's what you're saying. I actually made a note. I remember this and happened. I made a note. This verse just stood out to me, and it really burned in my heart, so I wrote it down, but I couldn't figure out what it was. And I kept it for like 10 years. And so I'm looking through my notes, and I see this verse. I go, oh, my gosh, that's what that means. Oh, he told me 10 years ago, but I couldn't understand it. My mind, I couldn't, even my spirit couldn't work through my mind. I couldn't, but now I see it. And then it released other things through the Holy Spirit. So God said, you cooperate with me in this walk. You got everything you need, but I need you to get on board with me. You need to make some effort to renew your mind and test what I say. Discern the will of God, and you're going to experience the resurrection power. And that's what Paul said. I want to know. I'll do anything to experience the resurrection power of God in this body. Amen? So it's like, it really is exciting. So we learn to bring, this is big, we learn to bring glory to God, not ourselves. See, I could get up here and just say, maybe one day I just preach the good message. Just good. And I said, man, I did good. That time, Lord, oh man, you're so fortunate to have me. Whoa, that was powerful. God goes, jeez. Now, I don't know if God says jeez, but I think he'd be tempted to say, jeez, what are you doing? You don't understand anything I'm telling you. See, because what it is, we are experiencing the resurrection power of God to give glory to God. See, not ourselves. People should look at us and say, man, I don't know how he does that. I know he doesn't have that kind of ability or anything. It must be God. See, look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7. So powerful. It says, now Paul's talking, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Everybody, what I did before, grab your little cheek. Go ahead. That's a jar of clay. That's a jar of clay. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We go, oh, I'm just too weak. I can't. God's going, oh, wow, I can use them. I can use them because they said, I can't do it without you. I said, oh, God said, I can use you because you recognize it's not in you. It's in God. And so he goes about us teaching us that we can't do certain things so that we can have a relationship with him and depend on him and be an avenue for his power, which is greater than what we want to do out of our flesh and brilliant mind that we thought we had. Amen? So powerful there. Now I want to share something with you here. That a powerful man of God shared something with me, and I never forgot it. Never forgot it. And if you ever want to look him up, it's Major Ian Thomas. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but Major Ian Thomas. And he told me this. I actually sat on the chair. I'm sure he said it other places, but he told me this. Wallace, a Christian, I'm going to process this. Kind of a, for me, is a sin that's hard to get my arms around. Sorry. Wallace, a Christian must relentlessly refuse to be the cause of his own effect so that others may see Christ. Whoa. Yeah. Now what that means is don't be the cause of the effect. You don't be the cause of whatever effect it is. He's saying, let Jesus be the cause of whatever effect. You see what I'm saying? And so you read it again. The Christian must relentlessly refuse. You're not even going to take, oh, you did that. Don't say that to me. No, it wasn't me. The Lord was showing me, you know, so we relentlessly refuse to be the cause of our own effect. Why? So that others may see Christ. It's like, yeah. See, that's the lesson. That's the avenue for the power of God. And so, basically what he's saying, this is basically what he's saying, is that hear God, do what he says, and nothing else. I mean, it just comes to that. It just comes to that. Now, what I'd like to do, you know, so now you're at that point, well, what do I do? And so I want to give us a verse here to where to start. Now, by the way, if you ever visit us here at Broadlands Community Church, everyone watch again, every Sunday, and I can almost say every Sunday, we will talk about how to be an avenue for God. We'll talk about that, to receive and be an avenue all through the Scripture, because that's what the Scripture says. So you'll hear, you know, message after message after message. So there's a lot of things to learn from that, and you present it. But here's a place to start. That you can take this and start, okay? Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. And it says this. Now listen to this. If you have been raised with Christ. Now what does that mean? How many times have you read? If you have been raised with Christ. He's talking, Paul's talking. If you have been raised with Christ. Okay, you must be dead and you're with Jesus in heaven. That's how you get raised with Christ. That's not what he's saying, is it? If you have been raised with Christ, if you have received Christ, if you were born again, if you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you, if you have the resurrection power in you, if you have been raised with Christ means resurrection now. That's what that means, resurrection now. So, it's resurrection now. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Our whole view of the world just changed. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. That's where you start. People really getting, some people just terrified of this virus and stuff and going on. Well, what would a Christian do? What do you understand? Well, the first thing you do is you seek God. Just personal, just Eddie, can I have just a little commentary? I read, I don't know which state it was, maybe several, and it says they didn't want churches to meet because they were non-essential. Whoa. They hadn't read this. Who said that? I mean, if you're going to call the church non-essential, you're doomed. The country's doomed. It's over. Because as soon as you call the church non-essential, you become under the wrath of God. Don't do that. Now, I mean, we want to be smart. I mean, and Linda and I have agreed, we wash our hands, We don't eat bats. I mean, by the way, don't eat bats, because it says in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, don't eat bats. And they say this disease came from bats. So you can read the Bible, not to eat bats. So we're saying be reasonable and stuff. But whoa, to say the church is not, you should be calling on the church. And a lot of people have called on the church, But be cautious of that. Cautious of that. The church is the most essential thing in this world for this world's survival. This world survives because of the church. See, know what's going on. Know what's going on there. Now, so he's saying, if you have been raised with Christ, seek things above. So we look above immediately. We know Christ is there, all right, at the right hand of God. And so we see that. And so our whole vision changes. And he's making us an avenue to hear God, do what he says, and an avenue of resurrection power in this world. See, we're the healing ointment in this world. We're the healing ointment in this world. And so as we wrap this up and say, all right, that's for the church. That's for the church to know who we are. But it's a message. If whoever doesn't know Jesus, who's not part of the church, we have an offer of this resurrection power to them. They just have to trust Jesus. They can't live in resurrection power if they haven't trusted Jesus. The only way to have resurrection power is to trust Jesus. So we can introduce them to Jesus, that he died for our sins. He died in our place and paid the penalty for sin, and we are forgiven. And he arose from the dead by resurrection power, and he gives us resurrection power because we believe on him. Amen? And I'd close with this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Who had no sin? Jesus. He made him who had no sin to be sin. He became all our sin. All the sin fell upon him like a big sponge. He just sucked it up. Made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God, or the resurrection power today. He died so that we could have resurrection power and live with him eternity. So our message to everyone is accept Jesus and live in the resurrection power now. Hallelujah. The Lord is alive. His people are alive. And he is alive within his people. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Give thanks to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Oh, just the magnitude to believe that your Son came to this earth and died for us on the cross, paid the penalty for our sins, that nothing is held against us. We have a home in heaven. We know we have eternity with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiven, Lord. And that it's through your resurrection power we live for eternity. And you told us this morning by the word of God, but the power of the resurrection is in play right now through every believer and through his church. God is doing mighty things through his church. We thank you, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you.